This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
Here's Aidan O'Brien. Gregory trying to stay onside. Morrison coming through the middle, and look at this for a late run being made. Oh, what a save from Johnston. Nobody was tracking the third man running there from Villa. Johnston called into action.
As the snow turns to ice on the streets of Birmingham. And Aston Villa's promotion prospects start to take a deep freeze. It's time for another...
It's like a David Lean movie.
It's time for another My Old Man Said podcast. Welcome, I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. Joining me on sound effects, as usual...
Spared no expense.
Dan Rogers, so the villaunderground.com. Welcome. I should have brought a trumpet with me to give you a welcoming fanfare.
Hang on. Let me. It's a good job because I've brought your Christmas present, David. Let me unwrap it for you. It's somewhat flimsy wrapping. You'll appreciate. Here's your trumpet.
Oh, that's a beauty.
As trumpets go.
And that's actually to announce that it's Star Wars is coming out this week. Are you going to see it this week? Are you at your leisure or not even bothering?
I'll be taking it in via the dark web. Is that a Cineplex near everyone?
I saw that picture that describes the dark web, and you have it's like a big iceberg. And the actual iceberg coming out of the water is like 4% of the visible iceberg. And that is the internet that you can access through Google, normal browsers. And the other 96%, which is underwater, is the dark web.
It's deep. It's dark.
Very deep. Where you can buy all kinds of things like guns and drugs.
Promotion.
I'm just hoping that the new Star Wars film is a transition from the last one, which is essentially remaking Star Wars and Empire Strikes Back and putting them together in one film with a female lead.
And then going, let's put this Disney logo on it and sell lots of things.
Yeah, hopefully there's a few more twists and turns.
We shall see.
Well, you investigate it on the dark web and let me know.
I will report back.
Well, actually, I want to go and see it before any spoilers leak out. How have you been, anyway? Have you been snowed in?
Snowmageddon. We no longer grit roads or pathways or anything, and the whole world grinds to a halt.
It's unfortunate that the actual snow didn't come a day earlier. Then they would have postponed the Villa-Millwall game and we could have slipped the memo to Bruce not to play Lansbury instead of Hourihan. And when the game was replayed, we would have probably won that one.
Yeah, a bit of a clang. We'll talk about that in a bit.
Anyway, let's go on to the 3 points of the week. First one, news just in. Palace's win against Watford means that the Alan Pardew reconnaissance project sees... West Brom slip into the bottom three.
Oh, they're doing a Villa.
Yeah, well, it could be a real swapsies of leagues. If the Blues' current position, mm-hmm. bottom three in the Championship, they could be playing in League One. Villa, if they stick in the playoffs and then win through, could be back in the Premier League, while West Brom will be replacing us as the pride of the Midlands in the Championship.
Do you know, wouldn't that be a turn of events? But we look at it as it is now. The Blues don't seem to be going anywhere under Cottrell at all, and already their fans seem to be bagging him out. The Albion, I think, have possibly dropped a major clanger with the... you look at the points and lack of goals, and they've won 2 games all season. You think,
Do you think they've dropped a Rowett? Because Blues shouldn't have sacked him, because they've ended up with somebody that's lesser. And obviously, he's now managing Derby, who are actually above Villa as we speak. Hopefully that will change when we batter them at Pride Park. But yeah, no, Blues, Villa have actually won the same amount of games as the amount of goals that Blues have scored this season.
That's 10, just incredible.
Which is a ridiculous statistic. Moving on to point number 2. After Manchester City beat Manchester United and went 11 points clear of them at the top of the Premier League, Jose Mourinho... whether it's mind games or not, practically admitted defeats in the title race. The 11 points difference is actually the same amount as Villa are currently behind the Wolves. Do you think we've admitted defeat in catching them? I mean, we had a great chance against Millwall to obviously close the gap after Wolves also slipped up at home to a 10-man Sunderland.
missed trick, isn't it, really, that the Millwall draw. Can we catch Wolves? Cool. Well, we can still catch them. I think it remains to be seen that it would be a remarkable season. I won't say unprecedented, because it has happened. You know, teams have gone on long runs in the Championship and got high points totals. But
I think Wolves will slip a few points. They've done against Sunderland, it's hard to maintain its intensity. But Villa managing to win that many games.
It's less about Wolves, more about Villa, isn't it?
No, exactly. And third and finally, actually this week has been pretty dry of news, and so that's led to various media outlets sensationalising various little facts. Like, for example, one thing we know is when a Premier League team loans a player out to a Championship team or lower, there's always a recall clause. I mean, any person out there who plays bloody Football Manager or whatever, you know, you don't loan players out for the hell of it. If they're kind of half decent, you've always put a recall clause in it. So Josh Onomar obviously has a recall clause, and some journalist asked Pochettino at the last, I think it was Spurs played Stoke, and at that press conference before the game, he asked him regarding the situation. I think it was with who's the Sheffield United player that's on loan? I think Spurs, as well as Onomar, they've got a player on loan at Sheffield United. And he said, is there a recall clause? And he says, yes, we have the possibility to bring them back. Cue headlines. Confirmed. Tottenham may terminate deals for highly rated duo in January.
Reliable journalist informs us that Josh Onomar is going home.
A Spurs website says Pochettino confirms highly rated young duo will be recalled from their loan spells in January.
Factually incorrect.
All bullshit. Yeah. It's just there to create fear, and that makes you click because you want to find out, what's it all about. Likewise, the Daily, this is an odd one because
article this hashed together, wasn't it?
The news that Manchester United had triggered the extra year in Sam Johnson's contract was, that's weeks old. So suddenly the Daily Express a couple of days ago puts out a week after, even I published it, over a week ago. Sorry, the Daily Express headline is Neil Taylor indicates Manchester United deal done for Sam Johnson. Now that's clickbait all the way, that headline, isn't it? That's like making Villa fans who were the rumours out there that Bruce wants to obviously keep him. But yes, of course he wants to keep him. But obviously, but that only happens if Villa get promoted. I mean, that only has any chance of happening if Villa get promoted. So anything, if you read about these loans, there's a headline. Don't even bother.
Let's just take that headline. Though. It's a classic, isn't it? Because Neil Taylor indicates Manchester United deal done for Sam Johnston. Well, long and short of it is, as you say, Man United are just protecting their investment. They're just kicking that down, kicking that into the long grass for another season. Realistically, though, Sam Johnston's performing well for Villa, he's not going to break into the Man United team, in my view. And that's not. Don't want to bag the kid out, but he's, you know, Man United have got the pick of the world's best goalkeepers and probably one of the top five goalkeepers in the world.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Villa have got the double problem, as you've just said, that we've probably got till the end of the season to demonstrate to Johnston that we can be a long-term viable option for him, because if you're a middle third Premier team, you're going to be sniffing around, aren't you?
Yeah, and also to actually have the money to buy him, because you know that's his price is only going up while he's playing for us and playing well for us. But yeah, just that express. It's like, does the journalist or the newspaper who did the headline sit back and go, "There's a good story. That's worthy of our newspaper."
I think it works the other way around. They've created the title and then they've just just run with it, haven't they?
Because like Neil Taylor's just said something like, "Oh yeah, he's a good keeper. He's playing well," and so we'll put his name in. Then the fans will think that he's going to let slip that the deal's been done. Mm-hmm. I mean, what a load of bollocks! Anyway, moving on. Speaking of a load of bollocks, to the Millwall game. I mean, I don't want to go into super, super detail into this, but it's one of those. I mean, I knew it was going to be a tough game. You just saw that Millwall were playing well away from home, and they were kind of just getting edged out. And they were quite a forceful team to beat. It was a tough one. And Bruce kind of seemed to suggest that because we were missing Codger, Terry, Jedinak, we didn't have that kind of physicality, you know, especially in the air, to kind of to cope with them. When really relevant, really. And the fact that we had our pants down and they were catching us on the counter-attack so many times. I mean, A, surely you do your homework on them, because I've seen highlights of them catching teams on the break that. And, you know, also once bitten, twice shy, but it just kept, you know, reoccurring throughout the game.
And over again. Millwall, to their credit, they didn't come to sit behind the ball. And I think they worked out very quickly that we were too far up the pitch. The midfield was all wrong. And I think they were as surprised as us. I mean, we sat in the middle of the Holt End. The amount of times they got in, it was at least three times in the first half. And
yeah,
you thought, how many times are we going to watch this happen? And the only thing I thought, I mean, we were so lucky overall that we got away with a point, because that's the only positive I could take, apart from Johnston's performance. But it was alarming, because you think better teams, you know, thinking back over the last few seasons, not just in the Championship, that's how we've been taken apart before, that we just don't learn. And it was the first game where I thought, not having a Terry at the back to be barking orders, and just, it sounds really stupid, but are footballers just thick? You know, do they need someone there to say, actually, this has happened over and over again, what are you doing?
Because you think, well, you know, Chester's the deputy captain there. There seems to be a calmness when Terry's there. Just because he's vocal, he's talking all the time.
Very loud, yeah.
You hear it. If you're in the lower decks of any of the stands, you hear Terry voicing his opinion and, well, his organisation as well. I mean, Samba, a bit quiet, and he's kind of concentrating on his own game, trying to keep it simple and not... I mean, Bruce suggested he had mobility problems. Don't know. Well, good spot, Steve. Good spot.
I think so. I mean, he obviously went off injured with a hamstring injury, which, I mean, the prophecy from our last podcast was us debating the coverage, and it was foretold that Elphick should...
I told you that Elphick would play a role in this season.
Well, he came back on, and his first action, I think, was to elbow someone in the face.
That's my boy.
back in top tip-top form.
I think, you know, Chester Elphick, it's not the worst of our problems, put it that way. But Terry looks like he's going to make it before the year turns.
He looks in good nick, doesn't he? And there's lots of bits and pieces coming out on through the clubs in his own social channels that seem to suggest that he's in good...
Running up the steps of the Holt.
Yeah, nice bit of PR, I thought that was.
Yeah. I like, it's kind of old school, isn't it? It's like Rocky, it's like the fight back.
It's exactly what it was.
But I mean, you hear stories about, like, back in the day where if you were a youth player at Villa, you'd be sweeping the steps of the Holt End, and it kind of, I mean, they should get that back in straight away if you ask me. But
okay, old Hepburn Murphy.
But well, Grealish as well. After his Power Rangers costume, that should be his 2 weeks punishment. Sweep those steps
and sort your ear out.
But the fundamental problems are like how we play and how we cannot dictate a game like against Millwall. And for Bruce to say, oh, you know, it's the Championship and they're a tough team, they're big, physical, blah, blah, blah. Well, hang on a minute. But if they're so fucking good, why haven't they won an away game all season?
Well, that's, I think the reason for that was that they came up against Johnston, against us, and there was some, in real terms, I suppose, bad finishing. I don't think they capitalised nearly enough on our disorganisation for at least an hour. I think it took us to get any sort of grip of the game. But we always looked at risk, and I think a lot of that stemmed from the, you know, even Bruce's own admission very quickly after the game by picking Lansbury. Now, he seemed to suggest he picked Lansbury on the basis that he came off the bench, had that impact goal against Leeds. Well, yeah. Fine. But Onuma is the player who's been lurching between good game, bad game, increasingly more towards out of form. Urahan, I think, has probably been quietly very good in the background.
Yeah.
Just a real duff midfield swap, I thought, that impacted us all the game.
Yeah, I mean, I was not expecting him to play Lansbury instead of Urahan. I thought, as you said, I thought it would be a no-mo. It seems to be the games where they're a bit feisty in the midfield, and you're playing some, let's say you're playing a team who's got players that like to get stuck in, that Onuma kind of struggles. I mean, just going back to Johnston's role and what you were saying, it's a bit of deja vu. It sounds like we're talking again about the Bristol City game at Villa Park, where if Bristol City could actually finish, and you know, watching Millwall, you just thought if they had a decent striker, they'd be they'd have put us away. I mean, Steve Morrison and you know, Lee Gregory hit the bar, but there are proper strikers in this league. Luckily, we haven't played a team when we're on the ropes like this, who's actually got one and given away cheap points that we should have picked up all three. But as in with the Bristol City game, Sam Johnston definitely got us the point there. I mean, what else can you say about the Millwall game?
It was disappointing. I think that we're disappointed because, and this is going to sound a very flippant blasé of looking at the Millwall fixture, but in view of the run of games that we've got now, it was our easiest, and I put that in loose inverted commas.
Yeah.
And the fact that we've got away with a point, and that's a big positive considering how it looked like over 90 minutes. I'm astonished we didn't lose the game. It was a nil-nil mauling.
We've already suggested the Bristol City game was, you know, a replica. And then you look at the Leeds away game, the first half of that. I mean, we're kind of a flip a coin and see what kind of Villa you get turning up. I mean, away against QPR, at home against Ipswich, these are Barnsley away. These are decent performances, but the team is kind of unrecognisable in these games from that one.
We do. I think we desperately... It was the first time I thought we could really do... with some more experienced personnel coming back from injury, just to have the options. I think Davis is looking tired and isolated on his own up front. You know, having someone who can naturally swap in for an Omar, and also having Jedinak back fit either for the centre-half option or to swap him in and out with Whelan or another defensive midfielder. Just those options. And that's not even getting onto Codger and Terry. You know, there's only so long we can be reliant. And when players like, take Snodgrass, he didn't have a very good game at all, really, against Millwall. When those players, and Adoma really struggled. When they go off the boil, there's not a lot else.
No, exactly. And, you know, we're playing Derby in the next game. And we haven't got long to do a long podcast this time, but we'll quickly talk about Derby. I mean, because of the Millwall result now, there's a bit more emphasis on actually getting a result against Derby, preferably a win. And our away form is, in terms of home form, we're only about 4 points different from what Wolves have managed at Molineux this season. It's where we've fallen behind. It is, yes, we are vastly improved from last season because we already have the 4 wins that we managed last season.
Yeah.
But we're still, you know, 7 points behind Wolves in terms of away form, 7 points behind Bristol City's away form. We've actually got a game in hand on them. And you know, we're behind teams like Leeds and Preston in terms of their away form so far this season, so you know,
room for improvement.
Look at the games now. It doesn't matter who you play, you know, you can't go, well, we'll get a draw here, we'll try to Derby away, you've got to win it. If you're going to draw against Millwall at home, you've got to go and beat Derby.
That's the situation we find ourselves in. It's not a case of, I don't think we're in this situation of must win games or anything like that, but where we need to be turning the screw on teams, because when through drawing with teams like Millwall, and you know, we missed the opportunity to claw two points back on Wolves, and teams below us immediately get that step back towards us. So that footing that we put ourselves upon, we now need to, like you say, we need to go to Derby with a very single-mindedness. And the fact is as well, if we are genuinely going to go get promotion, and it's what we said all of the back end of last season into this, we've got to be beating the vast majority of teams in the division.
And the thing about Derby is they've kind of come from nowhere, and they're actually, if they beat us on the weekend, then suddenly they're basically stamping our face into the mud as they try to get promotion spot themselves, and they become a real adversary. Their top goal scorer, is it Vydra? Czech player who scored 12 goals. That's something that Bruce should be, if he's going to play this one up top with Davis, he should really be identifying the attacking midfielder who's playing behind Davis, who's a serious goal threat.
Mm.
Now, I thought he was going to go for Hourihan after he scored his hat trick when he played a bit further.
Yeah.
And if the goals, as you said, if Adomar is actually either, you know, he's having a bad day or he's been isolated by the opposition. Mm-hmm. There has to be another option. And the attacking midfielder, infamously, the guy who got us up last time we were relegated, David Platt, he had that kind of free role where he was almost like attacking midfielder stroke striker.
Yeah, we're crying out for a figure like a Platt, aren't we? And there, you know, that's a luxury that you know, we all know the career that Platt went on to have and how he played at Villa.
But I think Bruce needs to pick his man.
Desperately, and I think a number of individual players need to step up. I think it's a 50-50 for me. I think Bruce has hurt individuals by not playing them to the best of their abilities, and that's around our formation. So Hourihan's a player who, as we mentioned in your name, Lansbury's another. But for the purposes of this,
it's not like we're lacking for choices here, because we've got Grealish, Lansbury, Hourihan, and Omar. Those four, take your pick. I mean, he did it indicate at the start of the season that Grealish was the man, but obviously he got injured. Then you thought Hourihan was the man because he'd done it for Barnsley and then scored a hat trick and looked like he was, when he was operating further forward, that's where he was, you know, the most happiest. And then suddenly he spends more time tackling back than he does playing it forward.
And I'm not happy with that at all, actually, when you think about it, because is that in our... I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind it less, I suppose, if I could see what we were trying to achieve with the other players in the position that Hourihan should be playing in. Because for me, the damage that he used to cause for Barnsley was, if he wasn't scoring the goals, he was feeding the player in front of him. And Davis, could we even say a Hogan of this world? Davis at the moment is crying out for some support. Maybe it's not Bruce's way to play that open attacking freestyle up front. But then on the other hand, we know that he was desperately trying to work Grealish into his plans in pre-season, and that looked to be a good plan, you know, until he got that nasty kidney injury.
Yeah.
And they were in this weird position where I'm not 100% sure that Grealish is the right fit, maybe for certain games, but he has all the technical attributes, but I don't know whether he has the physicality or the pace.
Yeah, I think, I mean, out of all those players, just based on previous, I would probably slip Connor Hourihan a DVD of David Platt's season when we went up and say, just check that out. This is what we want you to do. Just be free. You got a free role. You don't have to fanny around tracking back now.
Mm.
Get Lansbury or even an Omar to do that, and away you go. Here's a question for you.
Mm.
The two players for Derby that have played the most amount of time, ex-villains, Scott Carson and the infamous pub player Curtis Davis, who's actually expensive pub player, the captain of Derby. Would you have them back in this team now?
No, I don't think I would. I
think I would have the pub player.
I don't know. For me, Davis always looked a bit. I don't know. I never felt comfortable with him, and I wanted him to be. It was the same with Carson. He had to be on loan at Villa when he committed that howler for England, you know, because no one remembers the fact that actually he was a Liverpool goalkeeper. He was the Villa goalkeeper at the time when he scoops that ball into the back of, I think it was the Croatian effort, wasn't it? Into the back of the... Oh, horrendous. But previous with goalkeepers. And Curtis Davis was a centre-half who came for big, big bucks from the Albion. And with I think he'd been, was it Luton's captain at a very early age? Rave reviews, and he stunk Villa Park out for for years, didn't he? He was a player who I think that, you know, it's a decade. It was when O'Neill was around, wasn't it? But yeah. I was desperate to like him. I don't know why, you know.
Because he was like this. He was billed as a modern centre back with a bit of pace. He was meant to be okay on the ball.
My memory is he was dreadful.
And he was meant to be a smart footballer. But yeah, as you say,
it's not what it was.
You were never 100% kind of comfortable with him.
And I don't know whether it was because he was. I'm trying to think if his defensive partners would have been. Would it have been the likes of Ridgewell and. You know, I'm sure he had Larson for a bit.
Because he got him in early, so it would have been Melberg and Larson on their kind of tail end.
But all I remember is errors and thinking someone's got the run on him or he's got the wrong side. He always had a goal in him, but But that's not really what his job was.
Another former villain of there's a couple of Bent still injured, but Andy Vyman is actually their number one for assists with four, but he's only scored one goal this season.
Mm.
Do you think Vyman would get in this Villa team?
I could never criticise Vyman for his effort, but he sort of falls into the same category of players for me who were never good enough for Aston Villa.
Yeah, I agree.
They never delivered nearly enough quality. Again, another player who, you know, he came through the youth ranks, didn't he? He was purchased quite young from Austrian team.
My criticism of him was he never played to the whistle. Like, if he had a shot and it hit the post, he'd be holding his face, looking up to the sky when the ball's still in play. It's like, come on. It's a fucking rebound there, you fool.
He's
a bit melodramatic.
Yeah, and I think that was reflected in his form that you would see, you know, I can think of things like the, you know, the fantastic finish from the back heel from Benteke at Anfield, the deftness of the touch to score the goal at the Holt End to beat Manchester City. And then, like so many Villa players of recent seasons, just lack of consistency and I think quality, that's ultimately, you know, he ran around a lot, he tried so hard, he was just ultimately shite. It's not good enough.
Some of these players suffer from playing in crap Villa teams. So
I agree with that.
When it comes to the actual scientific test of whether they're a good player or not, sometimes cloud is the waters.
Mm.
But anyway.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See McDonald's.com.
It's Christmas, so... We thought we'd have a look. Yeah, right.
Just jingling me bell.
We thought we'd have a look at Christmas presents for Villa fans that have everything. already. You know, those dudes that have got every bloody replica kit, even down to the third kit, that hasn't even been released yet, but I think they've got it already. And they've got the Aston Villa toaster. And,
the Aston Villa toaster.
I was in the Manchester United club shop once upon a time, and they had a Manchester United toaster. Now, the only thing Villa had in response to that was, I've got it actually, a bread press. Where you press your... My dad, who's a Manchester United fan, sent me it for Christmas as a joke.
Is it literally you put an impression of the club crest or something into your toast?
You push it into your bread before you put it in the toaster, and I should try it one day.
So you've got it.
And you get AVFC in your toast when it pops out.
What about they use them at Bodymore Heath?
I should give it away as a prize or something. But
do you want to tell you a secret? I've got a good fun fact about the Villa Underground here. My first job was at the Villa Club Shop.
Was it?
It was indeed.
When was that? How old were you? Like 10?
I think I was about 16, yeah.
Have you got any secrets you can tell us?
Any secrets?
Have they got any contraband going or dodgy?
This was the days of Aston Villa branded jelly beans.
Did you used to steal them? Is this a confession?
No. That packet was already open, Your Honour.
When I did the Ron Atkinson interview, that was in the back offices of the Villa Club Shop.
The Villa Village.
So how long were you there for?
I don't know, about 2 weeks until they realised I was just standing around trying on replica shirts.
So you don't get tickets for the game or anything like that? Perks?
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you used to get tickets to... it was a bit pointless because I was a season ticket holder anyway. But yeah, you end up in the North Stand, if memory serves me right. Upper North. Mm-hmm.
Right, so let's have a look at these Christmas presents for the Villa fan that has everything. Number one, got a bit of a coup here. I don't think anybody's seen this yet. It's the 2018 Steve Bruce calendar.
Hang on, let me just pull the cellophane off it. Oh, it's back wrapped. Oh, yeah, there we go.
What's January?
Well, obviously, Steve Bruce going shopping for new players in the transfer market.
It's Tesco's, isn't it? Is that Tesco's? It looks like Tesco's.
No, it's Lidl. Definitely Lidl.
Oh, yeah, no, I can tell by the pricing, yeah. Lidl. Let's have a flick through it.
Oh, May looks interesting.
Oh, May. It looks like... Oh, it's Steve Bruce at the job centre.
Oh, Christ. Who's that Poulis behind him?
I think this is... I think that's whether we get promoted or not, surely. June. Steve Bruce.
Like something out the Blue Planet.
Steve Bruce in Speedos, holding a cocktail. I think it's the Bahamas.
Holding a what, sorry?
Holding a cocktail. And
I told you it was a dark web calendar.
And I think that's Alex McLeish sitting at the bar as well.
What a fantastic gift I've got you.
Just have a look. July, Bruce on the golf course with Terry again. It looks like a double retirement game there.
In the senior tour.
Have a look at August. Has he got a new job?
Oh, there he is, back at the Blues.
There you go. There's a scoop. So August, Steve Bruce will be back at St Andrews. We've seen the 2018 calendar. Whatever presents can you get the Villa fan that has everything this year? Well, at this Christmas.
Why bother with getting one of these match-worn Villa shirts? Why not get a match-worn Villa player in Micah Richards?
Yeah, I think I've heard that Aston Villa are taking bids now before Christmas, where they've given up on selling him in the January window. That's never going to happen. So
it's actually the worst charity auction ever, isn't it?
So fans now can actually bid to buy Micah Richards. So maybe you can help out around the home Christmas and help you open the presents, or
I think it'd be handy in the kitchen.
Yeah, what do you do with match-worn Villa players?
I've got a tonneau of my own, and
that's where he ended up.
Just racially abuses me and boots balls over the fence every day. But
anyway, let's move on. Number three, what else can you buy the Villa fan that has everything for Christmas? Well, I would suggest tickets to the World Cup. to see Australia's group games because, by the looks of it, that's the only chance you'll get of seeing Jedinak play again this season.
It's a conspiracy there. How convenient he's always fitting in the starting 11 for Australia. Yet, I don't know, it's as though he never plays for us.
Yeah, I mean, as we said in the last podcast, you know, players like Gabby and Bjarnason, and I can't remember the last time I've seen those guys play have more minutes than Mr. Jedinak. So yeah, so hopefully those three ideas will make you very popular if you're needing to impress a Villa fan this Christmas. Right, that's it. And if you want to be really, really popular, become a My Old Man Said patron and support the show and website.
Christmas patron. Christmas patron upgrade.
Support the show and the website and everything we do. We don't bring you these bullshit stories that, I don't know, I find it just insulting, most of the stuff out there aimed at supporters in terms of these crappy websites. But give us a will to live and become a My Old Man Said patron. Help us build this podcast next year, if we could get a studio.
Christmas studio.
Just so we can just record it and not have to edit the sound and everything because of faulty internet connections and whatever. That would be a massive plus. But go to myomansaid.com and click on the patron link on the menu bar for more details and to sign up. Thank you very much. Just a quick shout out to the latest patrons, Craig Jewett, Ian Freeston, and also a thanks to Daniel Bradley for upgrading his pledge as well.
What a man.
Well, what a man, and welcome aboard to Craig and Ian too. Right, just to sign off, let's really quickly go over these. We still don't know what to call this segment of the show that closes, where we just give the verdict on various listener issues, Villa-related issues. We're calling it Under the Hammer at the moment. Under the Hammer. In
the Hammer.
Under the worship of the Hitzelsberger. Ross Morgan on Facebook says, how long is it until our next centre-back comes from a sitting with Shy lottery?
Is it suggesting that that's our shortlisting process for incoming transfers? Because of the financial fair play, decided to just randomise.
I'm saying next summer is when
Tony from Castle Bromwich becomes our new centre-half.
Dr. Tony will start to audition future players through that sitting with Shy Lottery Company. Yeah, Lottery, we'll call it. But a very, very funny question there. Alex Whelan on Facebook also says, is there money to spend in Jan? Well, I think Ross's question was kind of alluding to the answer to that, and that's essentially no.
Well, I think Alex Whelan, well, it's nice of Glenn Whelan's son to write in, so presumably he's looking for a replacement for defensive midfield.
Are you looking for a replacement for your dad in defensive midfield?
Anyone, even Bjarnason.
I think it would be okay. I mean, you look at that team on paper, and the players, we're talking at the top table of this bloody league, and that isn't the problem. It's the formation, how you're playing these players. That's what's holding us back. That's why we don't beat Millwall or Bristol City or even Middlesbrough when they were down to 10 men. We're just not playing in a fluid kind of formation. And you know, when you put those players, write them down on a list, and you think, right, who do we need in January? You look at that, the first 11 and even the subs bench, if everybody was fit, and you think, well, we don't really need anybody. We don't need anybody. I mean, I think it's like Hogan's last stand because he's now fit. He was back in the squad and he needs to be putting in a shift now and you know, sticking the ball in the net.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why the debate for a striker's come up, hasn't it? That we're apparently in the market for a striker. And
I think it shouldn't be a debate, really. Yeah, I think in terms of strikers, we are only really, I think we're going to just get a loan in essentially to cover Codger. That's a legitimate thing you can actually sign off on. You're going, right, we're replacing Codger here. So actually get another striker in for the sake of it, it's like, well...
Well, how many more million? Was it 30 million?
Exactly, yeah.
20 million of which doesn't play.
I mean, you'd almost be tempted to recall Ross McCormack rather than splash out again. Because at least he's been playing and, you know, getting games. So I think don't hold your breath for a massive spending frenzy in January. So, I mean, potentially we could spend nothing and just get a loan in or two.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jedinek, that was good news on Jedinek, so I don't think we'll be trying to get in a centre-back.
No.
And Terry's going to hopefully be back before the end of the year. So we had some, and Hogan came out of nowhere as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, I don't think it's a case that we don't have any money. I think we've got we would have some manoeuvre with some ins and outs. But I think it's as we're saying, really, it's around with the players that are coming back. Have we had our big patch of injuries now? And where do we strengthen? You know, where I do think that we maybe do need something going forward.
I mean, it depends on Andre Green.
Mm.
You could say we need something on the left hand side because we have been short and we've had to play at times. We've played two right footed players, which isn't ideal in anybody's world.
No.
But we'll see. But I wouldn't expect big movements. Next question, Andy Milford. Off Facebook as well, and a couple of people asked similar questions about beer and things last week, but we just ignored them. But this one kind of covers it off, really. All of that shenanigans. Catering, has that been addressed? Bit of a late gripe, but the queues are slower and the pies are colder. Ooh, this is like this is almost poetry. This is bit of a late gripe. The queues are slower and the pies are colder. First world problem, I know, but annoying. When you can't even get a drink at half time anymore.
I love first world problems. I want to field this question. This is mine.
I'll just say a couple of sentences just to give it some context, and then you can roll rock and roll. Now, this was one thing that came up last season, fan consultation group. There was a few of us, we got to meet the new catering people, and they actually brought us in samples of the new pies and all that.
Oh, was this the Claret and Blue Burger?
Yeah,
Claret and Blue Burger.
No, it was.
Why didn't
sorry.
It take off? I don't know.
There was it was. I think you've exaggerated a little bit, though. It was the claret salad. It was using red cabbage instead of green cabbage to give it that little Villa twist. I mean, we're joking, but I can't. I think it's a feasible concept.
That's like serving up the Samba sausage. It just. We can never get away with it, man.
My favourite bit was when the guy presenting was saying, yes, and the pies, we're not using pucker pies anymore, we're using these pies, they have real meat in them. And then he just then he goes, yeah, this is the chicken one, it has blah blah blah, it has real chicken in blah, blah, blah. And this is the beef one, and I let him go a little bit. Then I said, can I just ask a quick question? I said, if these have got real meat in them, what did the ones before have in them? Everybody cracked up. I mean, even the two Villa staff there were pissing their pants as well. But yeah, that was one of the questions, was this the kind of flow, and can anything be done to improve the kind of flow? Because you do get somebody standing there at the till, another person standing there with their kind of hands in their pockets. But there seems to be people loitering rather than banging it out and getting those queues down.
First world problems. It is a first world problem, but it's almost like a Monty Python sketch at Villa Park, watching them try to serve food and drink efficiently. They change the name, they change the branding, but the people behind there are either badly trained, they don't want to be there, or they're just sullen, aren't they? And the beer's rubbish, the food's crap. It is crap food.
Expensive
for what it is, although it does include meat now.
Real meat.
Real meat. I just think it's a catalogue of things, like the amount of times you wander up and like things like, it's all first world problems. Chip and pin isn't working. I'll give you an example. I went to get a beer at the weekend and all the IPA was in glass bottles. So they're having to decant into plastic cups, and it's just like amateurish stuff. Amateurish, you know, and it's either all like, I'll often, if I'm driving, I'll have a Coke, and the Coke will either be so warm because it's barely been in the fridge, or frozen. So sometimes I'll take it to my seat, which is pointless in winter, leave it under my seat to thaw. In what world do you pay £3-4 for a Coke? It's just...
The only way things change like this is just people complain and complain.
It's
worth writing writing, tweeting, emailing, you know, whatever you got to do, because it never seems to improve when there's so many reassurances that this season is going to be better.
I mean, there's some horror shows, isn't there? If like, I think there was the infamous Morecambe sausage. Google that at your peril this week. I think there's a commentary fan paid $4.50, and it's basically just a dry bun and the world's most pathetic Frankfurter sausage. But and I think that sums up the fact that, I mean, you don't go to the football for the food and drink necessarily, but
yeah,
you go if you're paying a premium and a price and whatnot, that clubs can do a little to make it very right. That, you know, even things, look at around some of the better stadiums, what you can get now, and you know, Wembley's not the best example, and neither is Arsenal, because they are premium expensive products, you know, but you get what you pay for, I think, is the point.
I mean just even going to Twickenham like 10 years ago, it was like almost mind-blowing. The
Edgbaston is another example.
Yeah, the types of food, the selection of beers you can get, I mean, and yep, if it can happen there, then yep, then it can happen at football, especially at the prices we have to pay. And I just think there's still, you know, I think people in football still look down at supporters. They don't seem to realise that football supporting includes everybody from all walks of life, and, you know, they should be treated a bit better. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Right, last one. Chris Kington says, are we reliant on only a few players? Stay fit, lads. I think that's his advice. I think as we just touched on, a lot of players are coming back now, and I think we have a decent, let's say, 15, 16 players, and we should be doing better, and I'd expect a few wins in the what remains of this month, because if we don't win, I think we need to win, we've got four, you said five wins, you promised me.
Did I? This is why I gave up drinking this month. I told you about these promises.
I think I said that we'll probably get three, and then you were trying to make me be more positive, so I kind of said four. But I think it's going to be like 3-2-1, something like that.
Oh, grief, yeah. It's got the feeling. I think we're reliant on two or three of our players clicking at any one time. And I think what we've seen very rarely this season is, you know, there's been a couple of examples. I think Preston was one, and you know, maybe QPR, where the team really clicked as a unit.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in the game, and that's through a combination of injuries and through loss of form or whatever, or Bruce's dodgy formation sometimes. I think that's what's been hindered. And I think what hopefully we'll see with an injection of players back into the team through returning from injury, we'll have choices, we'll have options, and actually we'll have, an injection of
players
to rely on.
Yeah, there'll be a bit of competition, so that will kind of make people step up their games, hopefully. Right, on that note, if you can help us out, and, you know, if you see this podcast on Facebook or Twitter, please do like and share. That would be greatly appreciated. I mean, even if you're just liking on Facebook, what it does, it shows the Facebook algorithm that this is popular and you are getting something from it, and it may actually put it on somebody else's timeline as well, because Facebook are kind of
shysters,
cagey shysters, because they're hardly spreading posts anymore. They kind of want you to pay for it to actually get to your audience, who, you know, your followers. So if you can like and, you know, even share if you want, that would be a massive help, just to help push it in their eyes, and, you know, also on Twitter as well. And also give us a 5-star rating on Apple, and then you can review it as you want. If you're not that bothered about the show, don't rate it. Somebody gave it a low score, and it's like, well, what's the point of being a shyster?
Yeah, ban them. No.
Just don't listen to it if you've got no sense of humour.
No,
which you probably need to listen to this show. Anyway, pretty please, and until next time. Are we going on sabbatical now? You like sabbaticals, don't you?
I do. We're due one, aren't we?
Yeah, because I'm going to go away to a friend's for a few days, and then it's like Christmas. So what we'll do, we'll put out there's a couple of bonus podcasts that are put out for the curious people out there, just to fill in the breach. And there's also a bonus podcast for patrons as well that's going to be put up very soon. So make sure you have a great Christmas. Regardless of the results, but hopefully there'll be a few 3-pointers in there to help the Christmas dinner go down.
At least four. That's the prediction.
anyway, until after Christmas, it's goodbye from me and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Merry Christmas.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.